the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Time for some high school football talk. You know, we actually have a whole show dedicated to high school football every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. right here on KOAL. It's geared towards the entire 3A classification. This past Saturday, we had Coach Cole Meekum of the Manti Templars and also John Colosmo, head coach of Juan Diego, joining us on the show to talk about week one. We're going to recap week one and get you set up for week two right now. We're going to talk Carbon Dino football. Coach Huntsman of the Dinos joining us over the phone right now. His squad losing to Coach Meekum and the Manti Templars on Friday. Coach, it's always great to get you on. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I always look forward to it. Coach, we'll dive right into it. Opening week this past Friday. Unfortunately, things don't go as planned. You guys suffer a 42-0 setback to Manti. It was a very good football team, and we talked to Coach Cole Meekum Saturday on the morning show here on KOAL. All in all, give me your assessment of week one.
Well, it's an ugly football game for us. We didn't execute very well. We had too many turnovers. Anytime you turn the ball over seven times in a football game, you know, your odds of winning that ball game, you know, go down significantly. We didn't threaten the end zone at all. I think the closest we got was inside the 30. And so, you know, it's just not good football by us. Something that we've got to look at and make some adjustments to and see if we can fix.
Well, that's what this non-region is all about. I mean, we've talked about breaking it down into three seasons, and you guys still, I know, a little bit unclear of what you want to do at quarterback. You got to look at both kids, Noah Jones and Triton Abeda. How did you assess their play?
You know, Triton played one series, had an interception in the series, and, you know, Noah Jones pretty much played the rest of the ball game. We had Triton playing defense, and so, you know, we were trying to keep him fresh for that. You know, I thought both quarterbacks actually, you know, did what they were supposed to do. You know, we'll probably end up going with Noah Jones and we'll move Triton Abeda to either X receiver or, you know, to tight end. And you know, we'll just move forward from there.
Is that difficult to kind of have two kids vying for the same position once the season starts? I mean, that's kind of a unique situation for you guys, isn't it?
It is, and you know, once you get into it, and you have kids that say, you know what, I feel like I'm more suited to this position. You know, that kind of helps. I think Triton's a little bit more suited to be one of our big receivers. We can throw the ball up on the outside, and he can go up and get it and do some things that you know, not some other players can't do. And so, I think he's going to be very good at the position that he's going to play.
How does that help Noah, knowing now that he's the guy? Did you feel like it? Maybe these two guys were looking over their shoulder a bit? Could you sense that maybe they knew they were in a competition and maybe trying too hard?
Yeah, you know, they were trying too hard. And once we kind of ended it, you know, there's a little bit more relaxed feeling in practice. We've got, you know, we're working on new things now, trying to get the rest of our offense put into place and doing what we can to help Noah, you know, be in the best position to make plays for us.
Definitely looks like that should be something that bodes well for you. You've had Noah since he was a freshman, obviously, going into his sophomore year. So now you have the opportunity to sit here and mold a quarterback, which is every coach's dream. I mean, you want your own kids out there, especially underneath center.
And, you know, he's been playing it for a long time, and he came from a very tradition-rich school district in Arizona, you know, a district that's got 25, 26 state championships. And so he understands the game. He understands the pressure of the ball game. Now we just need to get him to play our style of football and do the things that will help us win football games.
Let's talk about Nate Olson here for a moment. You and I talked a little bit about him last week, and I asked you how much of the load could we expect Nate to carry, and you said he's going to be a very vital part to this offense. He rushes for about 60 yards. It seems like most of the positives offensively came at Nate's, you know, from Nate. Looks like he was the most productive guy for you.
And you know, we're gonna move some things around a little bit, and he'll be our feature back. So he'll get most of the touches when we're running the football. You know, teams are gonna key on him, and so we might as well give him the football and see what he can do. Because you know, with what happened with what happened with Manti, you know, every time he touched it, you had three, four guys swarming to him. So what we're going to do is we're going to set it up to where we can actually get him with the ball in space a little bit and, you know, see if we can get multiple blockers in front of him to help him out.
It's obviously all about making adjustments right now. So you look at week one, and outside of the turnovers, it looks like the defense really didn't play that bad for you, Coach.
You know, not too bad. We had Tristan Armstrong had nine tackles on the ball game at his middle linebacker position. You know, he did a good job for us out there. We're still working on, you know, getting our safeties to play downhill, getting our linebackers to play downhill, you know, and not backpedaling too much and keeping things in front of them. And, you know, it's just one of those adjustments that you have to make as the season, you know, progresses on. And again, these first four games for us are warm-up games to get us into that divisional play.
You guys were down 28-0 at halftime, easily could have thrown in the towel, but you guys played even with Manti in the third quarter. Was that kind of the bright spot of the game?
I believe it was. You know, there was some motivation that happened at halftime when we told our kids, you know, what kind of team do you truly want to be? You know, again, you have turnovers that kill you, but, you know, for the most part, our defense came out and they played with Manti there in the third quarter. You know, we actually do a good job right off the bat. We get a stop with them on defense, and then, you know, two plays into our drive, we fumble. And so, you know, the turnovers really killed us. We sometimes are our own worst enemy.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino Football Program. Coach, now that we get a day or so into practice, when you look at the kids' attitude, has it changed at all? You know, you go back to practice yesterday. Has it changed from what it was the week before?
A little bit. You know, we do have some kids that are a little bit down to the mouth because, you know, like, you know, senior year, and you want to do much better than what you've done. And you know, we're working on trying to put things in and get stuff ready for Ben Lomond so that our kids can have that upbeat, positive, you know, aspect out of practice and you know, prepare for a very good team.
The expectations going into the non-league season, with as difficult of a schedule as this is, I know I talked to you in the offseason. We got to go back a couple of months after the Ute and shoot, and you said, look, the main objective is just to make sure we are better following the non-league season and to make sure that we're healthy. The kids, they embrace that, right? They understand that this is going to be a very, very tough non-league schedule. It may be the toughest in all of 3A, actually, if you look at everybody's non-league schedule. I think you guys do have the toughest.
Well, you know, we looked at it as in the aspect, we want teams that we play to be able to compete with Morgan, to be able to compete with Juan Diego, to be able to compete with those schools. And so, you know, we looked at what teams did Juan Diego play and what teams has Morgan played and what teams can help us, you know, prepare for those two teams and get better. And so we were looking at that as the main factor as to our preseason schedule so that we could, you know, prepare ourselves to play in those big games.
Ben Lomond's a very good team. You and I were talking during that last break off of the very fast, and that's going to be something that you guys are going to have to deal with, their speed around the outside, and they can beat you multiple ways.
Oh yeah, you know, they've got a great running back who, you know, they run that zone read look, and he'll pick a hole and he can break one and he's gone. They've got a kid who can get behind defenses. They've got a quarterback that can throw it 60 plus yards in the air. So I mean, it's a game that, you know, it's a winnable game, but it's a game that we have to do the little things right for us to be competitive and to be able to, you know, maybe steal a victory there at the end of the ballgame.
So how much tape do you watch on Ben Lomond this week? Is it the same as any other week, or following the game that you guys just had, do you focus more on trying to make adjustments within your own team?
You know, we focused again on Ben Lomond. You know, we were in Saturday and, you know, part of Sunday trying to get down what they do. They run quite a few different formations. And so we're looking at the formation changes, what we can do defensively, how we're going to cover it, you know, those type of things. And so, you know, we looked at our film too, and there'll definitely be some adjustments that you'll see from our group based on what we watched on film. And, you know, it's just one game at a time. We don't look forward to, you know, we don't look ahead. We don't look behind. We just look at what we've done well, see if we can expand on that. Look at what we haven't done well, see if we can fix it, and prepare for the next game.
there's a great chance that you guys will see a defense that stacks eight or nine guys in the box, and you mentioned it, keying up on Nate. Once it gets to that point, how much pressure is actually on Noah to make sure that he makes the right decision, and how much pressure is on the offensive line to make sure that he has proper time for you guys to actually be able to pick a defense apart? Because I would assume we're going to see eight or nine guys in the box most weeks, right?
We should, and you know what's interesting is you look at Ben Lohman, who actually runs out of a 3-4 set, and so they'll probably roll up a couple of those linebackers. They'll end up playing probably a 5-2, 5-3 kind of look. And, you know, we've just got to be able to look out there and see what our blocking assignment is and, you know, put a body on a body. And if we put a body on a body, that should leave Nate with a one-on-one situation. But, you know, we have to be able to make those reads and make sure we get our bodies on theirs and see what happens from there.
Yeah, what it's all said and done, for you guys to get Nate in a one-on-one situation is really all you can ask for, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, football for me is a simple game. It's all about blocking, tackling, catching, and running. And so, you know, if you can block well and if you can run well, you should do okay. And so if we do the little things that we're supposed to do, get a hat on a hat and play well, we'll do fine.
Coach, before I let you go, I do want to talk about the 3A North. Only one team gets a victory, and that was Grantsville. They grabbed a 7-6 win in a defensive battle. Outside of that, no other team in 3A North got a victory. And if you look at the 3A South, there was only two teams that won there. So all in all, the 3A classification is kind of in the same boat going into week two.
They are. You know, if you look at it, some losses are bigger than other losses. You know, you look at the loss that Juan Diego had. Theirs was to a 5A school. You know, some of them were to 4A schools, some of them were to 3A schools, some of them were to 2A. And so you can categorize those losses differently. But, you know, as of right now, all but one team in our conference is sitting at 0-1.
Yeah, it's kind of a shocker. And really, I'm surprised that the one team that does have a victory was Grantsville. That's not a slight against Grantsville, but this was a team that wasn't very good last year. Kind of shocking that they're the only team with a win right now in this region.
Yeah, you know, Grantsville, they're up and coming. They're going to get better and better. Their coach is a defensive specialist, and so, you know, they're going to stay in football games based on their defense, and, you know, hopefully their offense will you know, can pick up and score some points to match what their defense does, you know. But it's a crazy division right now, and you just got to see what happens there in the near future. See what teams are going to start, you know, the rise, and which teams are going to start to fall.
Well, Coach, it is always great to get you on and talk a little bit about the team. Best of luck as you guys travel on the road for the next 2 weeks. And we'll catch up with you next week and recap week two against Ben Lohman.
All right, I appreciate you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. We're going to pause for just a moment. Again, do not forget, more high school football talk coming up tomorrow. We'll talk with Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartans. Friday, right here on KOAL, Emory will go toe-to-toe with Payson. And you can watch live at CastleCountryRadio.com. And you can watch live at KOALITV.com. We're going to pause for just a moment. More football talk coming up. We'll move to the national scene when we return.